Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Beryl-Law.com. You're listening to HR Educational Radio. Today, our guest is Christopher Littlefield, and he is an international speaker, and we're going to be talking about his new book, 75-plus Team-Building Activities for Remote Teams. Chris, I would say that seems very, very relevant today.
Yeah, you could say so. I think people are probably getting a little sick of sitting through the same boring Zoom meeting, the same awkward conversations, and just running out of energy and things to do in all these virtual interactions.
There is no question. No question about it. Well, you know, one of the things I know about you, because I've heard you speak before, is that You're an international speaker and you do TEDx speaks. Talk about that a little.
So I did. I'm actually a Mainer. I'm actually from Yarmouth originally. I'm actually based in Santiago, Chile. So I'm from Maine originally, but I actually haven't lived in the U.S. I've been working remotely for the last 10 years. And one of my first locations when we moved out, and the reason why is my wife works for the United Nations. And so I'm the one with a mobile career as a speaker that I can go anywhere and work from anywhere, especially now when everyone's working virtually. But when we were in Beirut, Lebanon, which was our first location when we moved out of the U.S., when I was there, I walked into a meeting. It had always been a dream to do a TED Talk and around my research on recognition and employee engagement. And I walked in the first couple of weeks I was in Lebanon, saw this booth for TEDx, and had an opportunity to apply and got to speak and do my TEDx on my research on employee recognition in Beirut, Lebanon, in front of 1,200 people in a city halfway across the world to share my passion.
That's
so
awesome.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's really awesome. And, you know, the audience may or may not know you. I would say that you've traveled the world. Would that be a good way to put it?
It'd be a safe bet. You know, it's funny. The other day I was uploading some new pictures, and one of the things, if you've got a Mac or an Apple, it, without even realizing, it's tagging where all your photos are. And I had opened it up, and I hadn't actually looked, and there's a map in there. And with the exception of some parts of kind of like over by China and things like that, I've been to Thailand, but I've actually done or given presentations on every continent minus Antarctica. But I live in Chile now, which Chile has part of Antarctica. So you could kind of say I've been there. But yeah, I've done presentations on every continent. And the thing that my wife and I do that we absolutely are passionate about is traveling, which is not happening a whole lot these days. But yeah, last year I went to Australia 3 times for work. I've done presentations. I was in Jamaica last year giving a presentation, running a retreat for an organization. I worked in Europe. I worked all over the Middle East and Northern Africa. And it's just really cool because especially working in workplace culture, the thing that you start to notice is that no matter where you go in the world, you're having the same conversations. Everybody grew up in some sort of family unit, has some sort of family baggage. Everybody is working in a workplace where they want to be seen, appreciated, and valued for their contribution and understood. Everybody wants to stand out and at the same time wants to fit in. And so no matter where you go in the world, whether I was in Oman or in Chile, it's the same kind of conversations. It's the same needs because people are people.
There's no question. It's human behavior at its best in regards to that. And we're still, at the end of the day, all human.
Yeah, exactly. And all have the same needs and the same wants and the same desires. It's just how that looks is just a little different for each person. And I think that's why it's so important that people are taking time to say, hey, you know what? What I want is very different than what you want, right? And what you need is very different than what I need. And the only way I'm going to ever find that is to kind of step out of that old school, you know, golden rule mentality of treat everybody the way you want to be treated, which assumes everybody wants the same thing, right? Which is rarely the case. I think I may have shared this in the presentation you had, that I did with your HR group a while ago, but it was one lady, every time her boss was a jerk, her manager would show up with muffins the next day. And she goes, I'm gluten-free. I don't even like muffins. She likes muffins, right? So that's just that lack of understanding what does that person want and need, and what do they need to actually hear from their manager, not what does their manager think they need to hear from them.
You know, you've obviously done this for a while and talk about workplace culture. And of course, we're talking with Chris Litterfield. He's an international speaker and right now is coming to us from Chile, not all the place. And by the way, of course, we're taping here in Maine and it's hot. It's not chilly. It's hot. Just so you'll know that today.
I can't tell you. I literally, a friend in Portland sent a picture. I think they must have been up in the White Mountains or somewhere in Maine, jumping into a stream, and I literally almost broke into tears. I was sitting there and I was like, what I would do to be in Maine right now, to be out on Casco Bay, to go fishing in the Royal River in Yarmouth for a couple hours. Like, I would pay thousands to go and do that right now, because where we are, we've been in lockdown for 3 months.
Sure.
Right? We literally have not left the apartment, and that's just the reality some people are facing in different parts of the world and even in the US right now. And it's taken a toll on everybody.
No, that's true. And it really takes a toll from when a manager, supervisor, leader thinks about appreciating their employees. You know, there's been a lot of talk about what that means today. And, you know, I've seen things where I know one organization, the owner of the organization has 75 employees and he delivered baskets to everybody at their home.
Amazing.
And left them outside. Or, you know, they connected or they found out what they were missing. They couldn't get toilet paper, so he figured out a way of contacting a friend of his at one of these large companies, and he was able to get one pack for his team. And these are things that are so small, but they mean so much if you took the time to do those type of things.
And people remember that. You know, it's, you know, I remember hearing a story, listening to a guy who was the ombudsman for the United Nations. And I was in a workshop he was giving. And truthfully, I don't remember probably 90% of the talk. But he told one story, and he was talking about how for one of his employees, he's like, you know what, she got very sick at one point in time. And it was, I think it was his administrative assistant. And you know what, she had gotten really sick at the time, and I think was battling with cancer. And he, you know, said, hey, you know what? It's not going to be easy. I'm not going to, you know, go do medical leave. Go do what you need to do. I've got your back. I'm here for you. And I remember him telling the story. He goes, and 3 years later, she was about to retire. And she delayed her retirement for another 3 years. She goes, I'll never forget what you did for me during that challenging time of my life. And I would, because of that, I will not abandon you right now, because I know there's so much going on and you need support. So I'm going to delay my retirement for another 2 to 3 years to be able to stay with you to support you. And I think that those gestures, and I think, you know, one thing I always talk about is I talk about what I call the valued employee mindset, is that the last 2 years I've been the qualitative researcher for a best place to work study for Ad Age, which is in the advertising and marketing field. And I got to interview the CEOs of all of these top 10 best places to work. I've done it 2 years now. And the one thing that was consistent on every single interview is each one of these managers had this valued employee mindset, that they understand that the success of their company, their team, their organization was rooted in the success of their people, both at work and at home. And their job was to remove those barriers that got in the way of them, of those two parts of their life conflicting. Right? Like the manager you just shared is going out, is, you know what, my job is to make sure, especially in these challenging times, that you have what you need. And if I have a way to be able to contribute, and that small gesture right there makes a huge, huge, huge difference. And people will not forget that, especially when they go back, and maybe when all of this passes in whatever form that looks like, they're going to remember how you showed up when things got hard.
There's no question that emotional connection is as important as the things you say, that it's the gestures, it's the actual what you do more than what you say. Would you agree that's still really relevant today?
One, it's never been more relevant. I mean, I think that, you know, with everything, I call it the three P's, you know, the pandemic, the protests or prejudice, and the ensuing politics right now that we're facing in the U.S. I'm not in the U.S., but I feel like I am, because all my conversations are with people in the U.S., right? And And I think with everything that's going on right now, there's so many people making statements. We care for our employees. And you know, I just keep on hearing from friends in all different communities around all three different factors. It's like, it's one thing to be able to put up and change your company logo for Black Lives Matter or for politics or, you know, whatever it is. But that doesn't show me that you're actually going to take an action on it, right? Is that, you know, we're going to see, we know how people are going to treat us based on their actions. Our experience of being valued or not valued is based on my experience of how you've treated me over the years. You know, if I think of, you know, a while back, I think Capital One, you know, there was a data breach or something like that. And someone's like, Chris, are you going to leave Capital One? I'm like, no way. I was like, this credit card company, and by the way, this isn't a plug for Capital One. It's just literally, I have an emotional connection to this company because of the things that they've done to me in their customer service to support me. You know, one person sat on the phone with me for like 3 hours when I got double booked on a flight for Oman Air once and saved me $3,000 because they caught it. And then they helped me and they coached me through it. And multiple times I've lost my credit cards while traveling and they shipped them to me within under 48 hours. And it's when people have done those things, whether it's through their service or whether it's how we treat our employees, whether it's the coaching and mentoring we've done to employees that we've hired if we're in HR and then kept on checking in with them throughout their experience, people remember those experiences. And now more than ever, when everybody is on edge, is vulnerable, is hurting, has so much uncertainty that they're facing at work and at home, when people are losing jobs, how we show up right now is going to be remembered.
You know, Chris, it's an interesting time. There's no question that things have been changing. They're changing rapidly. We haven't seen this type of change in quite a while. Now, that doesn't mean, because anybody that studies history knows that there have been many of these times in the history of the world, the history of, even if you have to go back a ways, always there's been moments of change. But it's always defined by how people react and how people and what they do. And that's always what people remember. They may not remember, you know, how it started, but they're definitely going to remember how people reacted. And as an HR professional, as a leader, as a C-suite leader, it is one of the things that define what you're going to be like, what you're going to be remembered for. And legacy does still matter, doesn't it?
I think 100%. I mean, it's like you think about, you know, whether it's in your personal relationships or professional relationships, you know, it's that moment where all of a sudden you see someone's character come out under fire. You know, do they fall apart? Do they stand up? Do they support? Do they yell? You know, it's like you think about it, it's like on an individual level. And I'm guessing everybody who listens to this podcast has probably dealt with that manager who yells at employees. Right. And the having to deal with the fallout of that, right, is it how people show up right now. And if they do show up, and I think the thing that, you know, right now we have to practice more kindness and compassion and empathy than we ever had before, because we're living in a two-dimensional world. Like, we don't see what's going on for that person on the other side of the screen or in between when the camera's on and when the camera's off. You know, and I think that right now it's, more than ever, we've got to be signaling to people all the time that we see them and we appreciate them, right? And, you know, whether we go radio silence for 3 months and don't say anything and then show up and be like, well, how are you doing? Because you've been doing good on your end, but that person on the other end may have 3 kids at home, or their spouse just lost their job, or family member got sick and they lost their family member right now, is unless we know what's going on to that person on the other side, it's really hard to practice empathy towards them. That's why I think it's so important that our actions and the decisions we make and the things we do and the things we say and the things we communicate have to be informed by having taken the time to understand. And I heard Mark Goldstein, who wrote Just Listen and several other great books, I interviewed him for a video that I put out on my YouTube channel a while back, and he had a great, great line where he said, it's less important what we say to others than what we allow others to say to us. Right. And as leaders, I think one of the biggest gifts we can do, and you shared an example of it a few minutes ago about the leader asking, hey, what do you need right now? And then finding a way to be able to provide that. And I think that asking right now and listening is probably one of our most powerful tools as a leader and as an organization to be able to leave that legacy. So when this is all over, people remember what we did.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour. Our guest is Chris Littlefield, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. We'll be right back.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobsinme.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on JobsinME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit JobsinME.com. That's JobsinME.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
At 154 years old, Verrill Dana has an illustrious history and more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill Dana serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill Dana, one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact them today at verrilldana.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, educational HR radio. I'm your host, David Chulo, and it is presented by cmacareer.com and verrill-law.com. Our guest today is Chris Littlefield. He's in Chile today. No, I didn't say it's chilly out. I said he's in Chile today. And he's talking to us internationally about his new book, which we're going to get into now, 75 Plus Team Building Activities for Remote Teams. Chris, why'd you write the book?
Basically, I think I kept on having people reach out. And what I realized is that when I saw South by Southwest get canceled, when I started seeing all these conferences get canceled, when I was watching event after event, you know, get canceled and seeing the reality of what was going on around the world, I realized that we're going to be in this for a while. And if we are going to be working remotely, if we do have to shift our cultures online right now, people need resources. And one of the things that I always did in my background was I was a camp counselor for a really long time in Maine. I was up at Seeds of Peace for several years. I worked in youth development with the Center for Prevention of Hate Violence out of USM for a while, and always been about giving people the tools so that they can take action. And so when I saw this going on, I saw that we were going to be working remotely for a long time, when people were going to be forced to step out of that co-located environment that nurtures most of our relationships, that I wanted to be able to create tools. And so one day I just thought, okay, I created this, you know, 15 activities download for my newsletter. And I thought, hey, can I come up with more? And so I just took a couple hours one day and I just wrote out as many as I could come up with. I thought about all the activities I'd used on site and remotely over the last 10 years. And I thought, you know what? Let's see if I can get a resource together to be able to support people to make all these interactions a little less awkward and give people ways to be able to bring a little more meaning, connection, and laughter into their all their virtual interactions.
You know, you talk in the book about simple ways to build trust, strengthen communication, and, of course, and laugh together from afar. Why is laughter so critical?
I think that the moment where this stuck out to me so much is that I was running a retreat. I was being flown back to Lebanon. I was already moved to Chile, and I was flying back to Lebanon to work with a nonprofit organization to run an all-staff retreat with them. And I had talked with the executive director right before I left, and then I landed on the ground, and she picked me up, and she was in tears. And she goes, Chris, we just found out that all of our funding's gone. We're about to have to tell, I think it was 80 or 100-something staff that they don't have a job in a month. And then that night we sat down and we talked, and after she looked at the numbers, it was going to be in a week that they were going to have to do that. So the whole senior management team came together, and they were all about to lose their job in a week. And we're working through how are they going to effectively notify the employees? How are we going to close this up? And in the middle of that, every about hour and a half, I'd take a break and I'd go play a game together. And what I saw there is that when we're stressed out, more than ever is when we need to play. And I'm not saying we ignore the problem, but we also need a break from it. We can just tune out and watch Netflix. We can do that. But we also need to be able to laugh together because it brings back our humanity. I think I saw a stat the other day. It was, you know, I think it was Qualtrics and SAP. And they had done a study where they looked, I think it was like 2,700 employees, and it was like 75% were more socially isolated, 67% higher levels of stress, higher anxiety, more emotionally exhausted. And what counters that, right, is that play. What triggers that parasympathetic nervous system into rest and recover is play and laughter, is connection, is gratitude, is expressing appreciation. And so when we're having all of these really heavy conversations and we have all that uncertainty, we need to do things to counter that, to be able to have that play. And even if it's 5 minutes of our meeting with a joke, a laughter, a funny question, something like that to get us thinking is a good way to be able to break out of it and counter all the stress that we're dealing with both at work and at home.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour, Educational HR Radio. I'm your host, David Chulo. We're talking with Chris Litterfield. And we're talking about his new book, 75 Plus Team Building Activities for Remote Teams. You know, Chris, as we have seen over certainly the last 3-4 months, this moving to remote has changed the way, well, everything works. I was going to say business, but it's really everything, personal as well as business. The relationship building, you know, our ability to connect with people. Certainly the pandemic has put a strain on the standard ways that we communicate. What have you seen are some good top tips for individuals, for HR professionals, for leaders? I don't care if they're personal or business, because I think it's kind of blended today, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think the first thing is that we need to make the mindset shift. Right. When we're co-located, we can plan on those little run-ins to be able to bolster our relationships. The asking somebody if they want a coffee when you're going out to the store in the morning, or you're coming into work, or running into each other and walking by someone's desk and saying, hey, that was a great presentation. So with all those interactions gone, we need to first realize that now our relationship consists of virtual meetings, calls, chats, text messages, our video conferences. And then if we're connected with social media, with our employees, that as well. And so our relationship is now consists of those interactions. So informal interactions don't happen unless we schedule them, right? And I think the first thing is that as HR leaders, as C-suite, as even direct managers, employees, we need to remember that that is what makes up our relationship right now. And so we need to think about using that time to be able to make up for all those in-person interactions, those informal interactions that we had in the hall that aren't happening. And so one thing that I say right now is just as a general rule, and I share this in the book, is I say the 1/6 rule. So for every hour of meetings, 1/6 of that, 10 minutes of that, should be used for relationship building, right? And so if you have an hour meeting, 10 minutes. And that doesn't mean 10 minutes in the front. It just means that throughout the time, we should make sure that we're not just talking about work, we're also checking in. One of my favorite things to do for leaders is that instead of just asking people the ceremonial, how are you doing? I talk about the pulse check question, which is a great way to just start out your meeting because oftentimes we have no clue what people are going on. So you can just start out by asking, hey, what's your energy level today? 1, you're feeling completely burned out. To 10, you're feeling fired up and ready to go. And then if you're using something like Zoom, you can have them put their answer into chat, or if you're on video, they can hold it up on their hands. And that's just a great way to be able to look to get a pulse of where people are at. And then you can use other questions like, hey, how supported are you feeling right now on our team? 1, not supported, 10, fully supported. And then after people give the numbers, you can then use a follow-up question to ask, hey, and why did you choose the number you did? And if you're comfortable, would you be willing to share why you chose the number you did? And is there anything you, me, or the team could do to be able to bring that number up?
Chris,
and that just helps to...
Yeah, I was just I don't mean to interrupt, but Chris, does that run the risk sometimes of that you're seeing a negative trend? And how do you deal with that as a leader when suddenly you notice the team's responding and maybe not the way you were expecting?
Well, I think that's a good thing. It's really interesting because this is like the same thing in HR when you get the engagement surveys back and it shows a low number or something's not as high as you expected to, or you've done this huge initiative all year and the number's actually lower than when you started. And I think people often, the initial reaction, I need to, oh God, I'm doing something wrong, opposed to my employees are communicating to me that something's not working or they need something. And I think we need to look at the number as an indicator, right? As an opportunity to say, hey, this person's honestly telling me that something's not going right. Now I can ask, because that's why that number tells me, okay, where I'm at, and wow, everyone's really low. Great. What do we need to put in right now that's going to make a difference? And then you see that, and then the next conversation is, what can we do? So if it's coming up negative, God, of course, everybody's burnout and fried right now. Earlier this week, I was dragging. I had to get an article out. I had a client meeting. Everything was going on. And the truth was, I'm solo on dad duty this week and trying to be able to go from being on dad duty with a four-year-old all day long to trying to write an article and trying to prep for a meeting with a client. I just had nothing left. And so I would probably been at about like a two earlier this week. Now I got a night of rest, right? So what I would need, if I put a three, it's not because you as my boss, David, are not doing your job. It's because what I'm dealing with at home that you may not know about is completely draining me. And so we have to look at those numbers as being, this employee, right, was willing to give me the answer and they were willing to be honest right now. So great. You know what? I am doing a good job as a leader in the sense of they're feeling comfortable to be able to share this way. Now, here's my way to be able to follow up. And by the way, if an employee answers with a seven or below or something like that, when you do that, that's that invitation for you to follow up with them and say, hey, I know the number was low today. You didn't say anything afterwards. I just wanted to check in. Because now, and I hear a lot of people saying, hey, we'll get back to our one-on-ones once we get back to the office. No, this is when you need to be having those one-on-ones right now. Because people have uncertainty about their jobs, about their future, about, you know, wow, I was going to be working on this, and I was taking this course, and I was doing that. When those things aren't happening, this is the time to be able to use this time that may be slower. And I don't want to say it's slower because it's not slower for everybody, but using this time when all that commute time isn't happening to have those one-on-ones that we would normally be having.
You know, I think that's an important part is that, you know, by the way, I will state that that doesn't matter if you were being online or knowing them in person. Knowing the person you're talking to and understanding what their situation or that moment of time really hasn't changed, has it? I mean, it's the same whether you're dealing with it online or whether you're dealing it in person.
In order to engage employees, you must engage with them. And I think that people forget that. It's like your marriage, right? You don't just need to go say, you know, I do, and then the work is done. That's when the work really starts. Right. And then there's this mindset.
Starting to laugh at that thought. So continue. I'm sorry.
Well, think about it. It's like you say, I do, and then, okay, great, we're done. We'll see you at Christmas. Right. No, it's that, you know, a friend of mine, he works in psychiatry at Cornell, and he has a great line. He goes, if you're not building relationships, they're breaking down. There isn't one or the other. Right. And that's why it's so important that we're doing things every day to signal to people that we value them. Right. And having that mix. And in the book, I include, because it's not just games. I don't even like the word team building, but the truth is when people go looking for resources, that's the word they used. But it's really about building and maintaining relationships. In the book, I have get to know you activities, check-ins and debriefs, ways to laugh and play together, ways to learn and grow together, ways to stay healthy, and also ways to celebrate. And one really simple and great activity, if your group has a internal chat like Slack, or if you've got a Facebook group, and if you don't, you can set up on there, is just going in every Thursday or every Friday, posting the question, what were your small victories today? Right? What's your small victories? There's a group that I'm a part of, and every Thursday this question comes up, and no matter how busy and how many things I haven't completed on my to-do list, when that person in the group asks that question every week, it always has me step out of what I didn't do and take a minute to look at, oh, you know what? All I can think of right now was I didn't get this done. I didn't get that other thing done. I didn't, you know, have that conversation I need to have. Oh, wait a second. But I did get this done. I did have that conversation. I did publish this article. I did spend all this time with my daughter this week. I got a load of laundry done and I cleaned half of the floors in the house, you know? So it has a shift away from that. And that's a great way for teams to be able to feature and share some of the things that they're working on, both at work and at home, and to celebrate each other for their accomplishments.
You know, it's interesting as you talk about this pivoting we've had to do to remote relationship building and really understanding the online. How big of a problem is the technical side, the communication of clarity in terms of, you know, what platform you're on or how well the internet is? How much do you find that fits into the challenge or the norm of that relationship?
It's interesting because as you were saying that, I was thinking it's kind of like workplace policy, right? Is it sometimes when someone makes a policy change or something like that, and you realize all of a sudden in HR, you're seeing the fallout of a policy change that wasn't necessarily thought out. And then all of a sudden you're dealing with all these problems and requests and people complaining about the sound being bad or the platform not being great. I think teams, the same as when we think about how we're going to meet and when we're going to meet, you just have to work that out. You got to figure out, is, you know what, so-and-so's connection's not working, or so-and-so's always having their kid interrupting, right, in the middle of a call, which if that keeps on happening and people are getting annoyed, we need to look at it and say, well, maybe we need to think about when we're meeting. So I think that in general, we need to work out, hey, what are our protocols as a team? What are we going to do around sound? What are we going to do around timing that's going to work? What platform is going to work best for us? And instead of getting frustrated, so every time we find ourselves getting frustrated with a platform or frustrated with our communication, this is when you want to step back and say, hey, we're getting really frustrated. What's causing the frustration right now? And I think this is for any issue we're dealing with. And then look at, oh, you know what? The sound is never quite right. Hey, so what is working for you sound-wise? What could be our agreements on sound? And just getting that worked out so that the platform or the sound isn't a distraction. And the truth is, we can just get on a phone call. It's okay to not be on video, right? It's okay to take a break from the screen for a little bit. It's kind of refreshing, right? Like you and I mean, there's no video right now, and it's kind of nice to just be able to talk. And I kept my T-shirt on today. I didn't have to put on a dress shirt, at least on the top of my jeans or sportswear on my virtual mullet, so that you couldn't see it. I didn't have to clean up all of my daughter's art projects on the back of my office. And that took 10 minutes of work time or prep time that I could give up because all I'm doing, I had to show up just on the voice via audio.
No, it is a difference, and it certainly is a factor in it. And I agree with you. It's also using the right medium at the right time. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back. HR Power Hour is proud to share the following information. Strategic HR 2020 moves from the Mount Washington stage to your living room this October.
Take a virtual journey around the country and witness HR leaders aspiring to greatness in challenging times and earn SHRM and HRCI continuing education credit.
Rates are in effect at strategichrus.com.
Then on October 21st, pour yourself some morning coffee and log on to 3 days of HR exploration.
That's at strategichrus.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobs and ME.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on Jobs and ME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsandme.com. That's jobsandme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, Educational HR Radio. And I'm your host, David Chuglo. And today, of course, we are presented by CMAKorea.com and Verrill-Law.com. Our guest is the one, the only, Chris Littlefield. How do you feel like that introduction? I think that's pretty good, the one, the only.
You know what? It's funny. I'm the one and the only, and if you search my name, the executive for Fidelity Investments comes up or something else like that. For a long time, it's like, the one, the only. Wait, which one are you?
Yeah, which one are you, the one and the only? Yeah, that's right. Exactly right. It's kind of funny, but it's true.
Or what was the joke that someone used to make is, you're one in a million. That means in China, there's 350 people exactly like you.
That's exactly right in this particular case. But in this case, there is only one that wrote the book, 75-plus team-building activities for remote teams, right? There's only one, and that's you.
I am the only one.
So I'd like to talk a little bit about the book specifically. And we have a lot of authors that come on books and talk to us about it, though you have an international flair, which, of course, is a little bit different in your uniqueness. Tell me a little bit about the book itself. When somebody is picking up the book and they're saying, what am I going to get out of this? What do you tell them?
Yeah. The whole purpose of this is I made this book intentionally short. This is not about theory. This isn't about all the background and setting it. There's no information about technology and what technology to use in the book, because I wrote the book to be useful right now and in the future. Everything that's in there are all things that I've been using for years in person and just adapted them to being remote. Because the truth is, what really makes our relationships are the conversations we're having, but I wanted to give people concrete ideas of things they could do, right? And so it's divided. There's a quick start guide right in the beginning there's one part that's all about the heart of the relationship, just thinking about the core things that need to be there. We need to take time to know our people, to be inclusive, to be considerate, to be grateful, to be available. And I go into literally in about 3 pages, just those core things that have to be there to maintain our relationships, regardless of whether we're in person or working remote. And then it's broken into a few different sections, just get to know you activities, team check-ins and debriefs, where there's a whole script for a stay conversation. And what I wanted to do is take the work off of managers' plates, off of HR leaders' plates, so they could just grab something really quick if they just needed a quick game for their next meeting, or if they wanted to organize like a longer retreat, they could get all the pieces there to be able to pull together to be able to organize that. But the aim of all of this was literally just to have something that'd be a quick reference you could have on your phone or on your, because there's a Kindle version and the paperback will be released right now. I'm just finishing up the manuscript for that. But something you just open up quick and then there's an activity, you know? And so everything in there is, there's probably 3/4 of them take under 10 minutes. Other ones can be longer things that you can do, but you have things to learn and grow, laugh and play, check in, debrief. Like one simple one that's in there, and I'm actually going to ask you these questions right now. So you pick a color. So imagine you had M&Ms, and if you don't have M&Ms, you can send them to your employees to be able to do this. But if you don't, right, you can just pick a color. So I want you to pick color, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, or brown.
Okay, I have a color. I got it. Do I have to tell you?
Yeah, tell me what color.
Oh, this isn't a magic trick? Okay, I'm just a little joke today.
The magic trick is whatever color you pick corresponds with a question, and you're going to have to answer that question.
All right.
Depending on what color you get.
All right, so I'm going to do blue.
Okay, blue. Here's the question. If you could go anywhere in the world today, where would you go and why?
Oh, that's actually pretty easy. And that would be in Italy. I would go to Italy, and I would go to the Amalfi Coast. Because I've been there once, and I was way too short. It just was a quick day visit, and I'd love to stay there for a lot longer. Why? Because of the emotional beauty, connection, the people, the food, and the ambiance.
Perfect. So this is a simple question, like simple thing, and in the book, and you can change the questions each time. You can change them to work-related things. But you can just put them out there and just ask people color, or instead, if you don't have M&Ms, people can roll a dice, and you can do it whatever you want to do. But just to open up your meeting by using a question where people get a chance to learn about each other. You know, I was just on a call with a group over at Facebook yesterday, and we're talking about doing a retreat. And one of the people on the calls I knew from when I lived in Lebanon, the other one was one of the senior managers over there. And we were having a conversation, and the truth was the manager didn't know that this guy who was on her team had a company that he had run for years in Lebanon prior. So, oh, I didn't even know you did it. She's like, I knew you had a company, but I didn't know it was this big. I didn't know you had done these things. Is we want to keep on learning about each other, and questions are one of our keys to get there. Now, here's another fun one that we can do. And normally, if you do this on a video, and people can, one fun visual way to do this is have people turn all their cameras off. And if they agree with the answer to the question, they turn their cameras back on, like owning it for a second. Or you can raise your hand, or people can just say I, and you and I will just say I. But this is virtual have you ever. Have you ever heard of the game Have You Ever before?
Yes, I actually have.
Okay, so this will be the have you ever. Have you ever put yourself on mute and gone to the bathroom while you were on a call for work before?
I have the right to remain silent. I'm an American. I'm going to have the right to remain silent on that.
Here's the next question. Have you ever stopped paying attention on a virtual call or on a call and then got asked a question and had to fake your answer. I have.
Of course. Of course. Who hasn't, really? Honest to God.
Okay. I'll skip another one, but a couple of questions. Have you ever forgotten a call completely until the host called you?
Oh, God, yes. Unfortunately, that has happened. Yes.
Okay. And then one more here is, have you ever done the laundry, cooked a meal, or something else while on a call before?
Yes, all of the above.
Okay, and then the last one I got to ask here is, have you ever piled things under your desk or out of sight to make it look like your office is actually clean?
Exactly.
Exactly. Well, and that's the truth of it, is that throughout the book, this is one of the activities in there. And another simple one that you can do is a home office scavenger hunt. And the folks in Maine will get this. I've been actually using it in some of my workshops. Is you actually, well, there's two different versions of it. One is you come up with a question and then you have people go find it. So for all the, when I'm doing a presentation that's not in Maine, I'll say, hey, and everybody in Maine already knows the answer to this question. I said, I want you to find Freeport, Maine on a map. What's the town to the left of it? And what's the name of the river going through it? And so everybody has to get online. They've got to go and they search for it and then have put their answer into chat. It's a one way just to engage people. So come up with a question on there, have people go search for it. Or the home office scavenger hunt, which is in the book as well, is literally just come up with different items and have people go find them and then bring them back to the camera. Like, go find a piece of rosemary, or go find the most expired piece of food in your kitchen cupboard, and bring it back and then explain to people when you bought it and why you haven't ever eaten it, right? But to bring play, movement, and a little interaction that we may do in person there. And then the other thing I think to remember right now is to bring our families into it, is people are home with their families, and it would be hard to invite everybody into the office for a family day. But now they're coming in anyway. And just yesterday in this call that I was with this manager over at Facebook the other day, she did an amazing thing. And I don't know if she knows, she realized she did it. And we found out we were both parents, and she has a newborn at home. And I go, excuse me if my daughter busts in the middle of the call. And she goes, that would be awesome if she did. And that, what she just did right there by showing me, hey, I would love to meet your daughter, it'd be great if she busts in, is that invitation to not have to worry about it. And I think right now, and I share this in the book as well, we just need to remember that whether it's during the pandemic or after the pandemic, our relationships are built on creating that emotional safety, creating that connection, and letting people know they're safe to be who they are, and that we understand they have life inside of work and outside of work, and we need to be considerate, respectful of both. And I think that's really important. So to remember that this book is there to give you those simple activities you can do right before a meeting, to give you those check-ins you can use both in the office and while you're remote right now, and to be thinking about, hey, our culture has now moved online, so how are we going to curate that? And I think this is a resource for HR leaders, but also for senior managers and for team members, just to think about, hey, if we are going to be working remotely, how are we going to keep it fun? How are we going to stay connected? And one way that HR leaders can use this book is they can start curating and sending the activities out to people. Say, hey, here's something to try this week. Instead of just being human resources, being a resource source. And you've been that, because I think HR has had a more important role now than probably ever before in communicating what's going on and communicating, hey, we're going to return and this is what it's going to look like, is dealing with all those employees' concerns from afar. And now here's a way to be able to support those leaders in supporting their people by giving them activities that they can try.
You know, I'm excited to hear about this book because I'm interested in learning more about it. And we're going to talk about it in the last segment. One more time. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back. HR Power Hour is proud to share the following information. Strategic HR 2020 moves from the Mount Washington stage to your living room this October.
Take a virtual journey around the country and witness HR leaders aspiring to greatness in challenging times and earn SHRM and HRCI continuing education credit.
Rates are in effect at strategichrus.com.
Then on October 21st, pour yourself some morning coffee and log on to 3 days of HR exploration.
That's at strategichrus.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobs and ME.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their QuickPost product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on Jobs and ME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsandme.com. That's jobsandme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, Educational HR Radio. I'm your host, David Chulo, and we're talking with Chris Littlefield. He's an international speaker. He's got a great new book, 75-plus team-building activities for remote teams. Simple ways to build trust, strengthen communication, and laugh together from afar. Chris, as we wrap up the show today, hopefully everybody's listened and they're excited about this book. But you know what I always like to ask authors, and it's a question that's really kind of important. If I'm going to put some money down on this book, what are two big takeaways? I know you told me there are tips, things that you can do, practical things, but what are two big things or reasons I should buy the book?
At the heart of our relationship is that experience of feeling valued or not. Right. And right now, we don't have that ability to just walk up to somebody in the hall and check in. We don't see those signals on their faces that they're upset. We just see the camera comes on or we see their name pop up on the list of participants in chat. And if we want to be able to kind of build and maintain those relationships so that when we return to the office or we're able to, or we end up working remotely for another 6 months to who knows how long, right? We need to be doing things to build those relationships. And right now, we need to be infusing things into those meetings, into those one-on-ones, and making a conscious effort to make time for those informal interactions inside the time we have allotted for our meetings. And so the biggest takeaway from this book are exactly what you can do in there. So instead of having to try to go online and search through, and I've written a bunch of articles. I've got an article in Harvard Business Review and in Forbes about things you can do. But the challenge is you've got to sort through a lot of stuff. And instead of sorting through it all, it's right there in one place. Here's activities to learn and grow, to know, to laugh, to check in, things to do in your one-on-one scripts. And inside the book, I think one of the most valuable activities that's in there is this year in review process that I designed. I've run for organizations for a long time. And I just said, hey, you know what? This is a really useful process for teams to do. And this is a way of, instead of just, you know, eating cake on little plastic plates at the end of the year, or maybe June is the end of the year for you, or July, whenever you reflect back, is to walk your team through a process to look at, hey, what have we faced over the last year? You know, and I created this activity because I was working with a leader in Egypt, and he owned a restaurant group. And he's like, we've closed three restaurants and we've only opened two new ones. And I was like, are you kidding me? He's like, you feel like a failure? He's like, do you even remember what happened last year? And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, you mean the revolution that you worked within? This was in the heart of the Arab Spring, and he opened two new restaurants and only closed three, right? It's sometimes we get so caught up on what we didn't do that we forget what we did do. And so that year-end review process, that small victories process, all the recognition activities are in there, help you learn about what people are dealing with, give you opportunities and concrete ways to be able to open up different conversations than the ones you may be having every day, and will help you make all those interactions just a little less awkward and a little more meaningful. And so I think the biggest value of the book is just different things to try. And you can, you know, get copies of the book for people on your team and then say, hey, you're in charge of next week. Okay, you're in charge of next week. And then, you know, assign each employee to pick something to be able to do. And my goal in writing the book was that you may not just use the activities in the book, but that activity may remind you of something else. And so it's a small book with a lot of concrete actions you can take virtually, and also you can use them once you return to the office as well.
Chris, where can somebody find the book or sign up to get the book, and tell them a little bit about that?
Yeah, you can find my company's Beyond Thank You, and so the website's beyondthankyou.com. You can find information about the book at beyondthankyou.com/book. And also on that page is a free kind of team relationship building self-assessment with 10 questions that you can ask yourself about the emotional safety on your team. That's a free download on the site there. And then it also recommends where to start. Because one thing I find for a lot of people is, yeah, these things all sound great. I want to do something, but I don't know where to start. And so what I do with that assessment is I give people a way to be able to look at where they're at, see, do I need to keep up what we're doing? Do I need to step it up, or do I need to start it up, right? And to see where we're at and then recommend what things to start with. But more than anything, people just need to try something, right? Is to go out and just say, hey, you know what? Okay, I'm going to send a virtual thank you card today. I'm going to write out my handwritten thank you card. I'm going to take a picture of it with myself, selfie of it, and I'm going to send it to that employee and say, next time I see you, I'm going to give you this thank you card, right? But it's really about just taking action. But you can find the book at beyondthankyou.com/book, and you can also find it on Amazon as well. That's where I actually have it in the, like I said, the paperback version. You can get a digital version now for under $10.
That's awesome. Well, Chris, I want to thank you so much for being our guest today. As you mentioned to me, it's a radio show debut, and you've done a great job today.
It's really a pleasure, and like I said, if it's going to be the first time on the radio, I can be prouder to be in my home state of Maine and on the air there first.
So absolutely.
Thank you very much for the time today, and for Debbie for the work in the back to produce the show and make it all happen, and that you guys showed up right now in the middle of a pandemic, and the show still goes on.
The show must always... must always go on. Chris, have a wonderful day. We'll be in touch. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back with the HR Tip of the Week. And now, your HR Tip of the Week. Your HR Tip of the Week is being sponsored by Verrill.
Hi, this is Tawny Alvarez at Verrill. Let's pause and think about your highest performing employee. Your all-star, the employee who, while not irreplaceable, will certainly adversely affect your operations were they to leave. Does the employee have confidential information about your business? Do they know information about your profits and margins? The real question is, have you adequately protected your company? A confidentiality agreement or non-compete agreement are, depending on your industry, something you may want to consider. While more and more states are regulating the enforceability of non-compete agreements, a confidentiality agreement will permit you to restrict an employee's ability to share your company's confidential business information with competitors in the future. Contact a member of Verrill's Labor and Employment Practice Group to discuss more.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Verrill. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.